fun, gamblers, degens, and everybody else in between. This is the Gamblers Anonymous Podcast, GAP, GAP for short, because we're closing the gap between you and the bookies. Hopefully everyone's had a good weekend. I know I'm coming to you with this episode on Sunday around 3:30. I know it's a little late, but hey, man, it's tough sledding out here with no NFL action. NBA's on the All-Star break. NHL's wouldn't show any more game slots for us past Saturday games, so it's pretty tough. But luckily for us, we got tennis on the horizon. Lots of tennis plays for you guys this week. Lots of tennis locks. And we're going to give you them. We're going to feed you guys them, these locks. And we are returning to our normal episodes. We've got three locks and the to the moon. And let's get into it. I'm your host for this episode, JG. And let's quickly get into the recap. Firstly, let's get into the Super Bowl. Like, we started it off with heads, tails. It wasn't a lock. It was just fun little thing of starting it off. And we flipped tails and they flipped heads. So that was a tough beat. That sucked. But my first lock I had for you guys, Brock Purdy, under 31.5 passing attempts, -125. And you know what? What a tough break. Kyle Shanahan stops throwing the ball in the third quarter, stops running the ball in the third quarter and puts it in the hands of his QBs. Like, doesn't he know Brock shouldn't be throwing more than 31.5 times a game? By the end of the fourth quarter, his last throw in the fourth quarter, 32 passing attempts. Like, come on, man. I know it went to overtime. We were still going to lose, but come on, man. Why the hell are you throwing the ball that much? Run the damn ball. Run the damn ball. Put it in CMC's hand and let the white boy cook. Let him cook. He was unstoppable that first half. Besides that one bad fumble, that game was running through him. I'm telling you, like, come on, guys. What are we doing, Kyle Shanahan? What are we doing? So we ended up losing that one. Tough beat. Next. Whew. Easy. No problem. This one came in by the third quarter. Patrick Mahomes over 4.5 rushing attempts, -120. This one was no problem whatsoever. No problem whatsoever. I think he ended the game with 7 or 8 just because of overtime, but we didn't even need it. It hit without it. And what did I tell you guys last week? That Niners D-line was legit. If Steve Wilks knew how to coach football, they might have won that game. He might have got the best abilities out of all their D-linemen, but nope, he couldn't do it. So that's why he hit the road. He got canned, fired, boom. But it doesn't matter. That D-line still caused enough havoc for us, for Mahomes to win with his feet. He had to skedaddle out of the pocket a couple times, and hey, that's what he did for us. And we knew that too. So easy lock, 1-1 so far. And then the last lock, ooh, not my finest moment, not my proudest moment, but I had Jake, the Booty Moody, the fraudulent one, to miss a field goal at, what was it, +250. Oh, you know, this guy had multiple attempts to make me look like a genius, to make me look right, but what did he do? He proved me wrong. So good for you, Jake Moody. I still think you're trash. I still don't think you're worth a third-round pick, 99th overall, but you made me bite my words. You made me eat my tongue, whatever the expression is. So good for you. You didn't miss to the right. Harrison Butker didn't miss. And I kind of like the fact that Butker outkicked you by 1 yard for the NFL franchise record, because yeah, we needed that. That kind of pissed me off. So what are you going to do? So ended up last week 1-2. Tough. I tried to give you guys a big beat with the +250, but didn't come our way. And when we're looking at to the moon, Kyle Juszczyk, 2+ receptions, +320. First play of the game for the San Francisco 49ers. He made that catch. I'm like, yeah, here we go. Easy. We took to overtime to get a second catch. That was tough. Both teams to score 1+ touchdown each half, +145. I mean, Pacheco ruined it in the first half. He was on the 5. They had a huge play by Mahomes, dropping it in the bucket of, I forget, I think it's Hardman, Mecole Hardman. I think he dropped it in his hands beautifully. What a catch. And then they go and fumble it. So that really screwed us over. I should have went with the 1+ field goal. I should have known the defenses were good enough to hold them. But I fucked up. That's plain and simple. I fucked up. And then Brandon Ayuk, anytime touchdown, +175. There's two beautiful opportunities where one, he just stopped running, and one, Purdy put it on the left side of his shoulder, and he was looking on the right. Two beautiful opportunities to touchdown, but he did none of that. So I went 1 for 3 on the to the moon, and not my finest work. But forget that. We're on this week, and we are going to our first lock at the WTA Dubai, Maria Sakkari versus Emma Navarro. And we're going Emma Navarro straight up, money line winner, -110. Lately, I like what Navarro's been doing out there. She's been climbing the ranks. She's grown 100 spots since a year. I think last year she was about 134, 133. Now she sits at 23rd ranked best women tennis player in the world right now. She's been on a heater. Like I said, I've been liking what she's been doing. She's 12-3 in her last 15 on hard court, which this match will be being played on. And two of those matches she lost in the 12-3 span were top five players. So she's only losing to the best. And when I'm telling you that, her last match was against Rybakina, the number fourth best woman in the world. I'm telling you that she plays top competition. She's been climbing the ranks. It took her 3 sets to end up losing that game to Rybakina. 3 sets. And she's on that upper echelon with Sabalenka. She's that good. I'm telling you. And for Navarro to be doing this at a young 22 years old, she's looking nice out there. She's going to be real nice out there in the future. Not to take anything away from Maria, she's been sitting around that stagnant number 10 spot in the world. Not a top 5, which Navarro's lost to, but a top 10. And even with that, like, she hasn't been her best lately. She's 6-9 in her last 15, and she hasn't been winning against top quality. She's beaten some players in 50-plus ranking spots, 80-plus ranking spots. She has not been playing up to her level. She's in a little slump. I can feel it. And we're going to take advantage of this. I'm not quite sure what other matches she's played in the UAE, the Emirates. But she's lost 4 straight. She's lost 4 straight in a row. And she's lost 4 straight in Dubai in a row. So I don't know if it's year after year after year she's coming into this game, at this tournament, and just loses right away or what. But she does not play well here. Never has. Maybe she has once, but I don't know about that. And even looking back at like 5 months ago when they played on September 11th, Navarro took the match in 3 sets. And I see the same thing happening here, maybe in 2. And even when you look at all the comparables, her match rating, her handle rating, her surface rating, Navarro's better. Navarro's better in each of those categories. And I like what we got here. At -110... I'm taking Emma Navarro, money line winner, against Maria Sakkari. Lock number one, lock it in. So let's go to lock number two, the ATP Doha. And we got Alexander Shevchenko versus Richard Gasquet. And give me Shevchenko on the money line at -225. When I was writing this, when I found it, it was -200 right on that spot where I like to give. So it hurts me to give you a -225. It does. But I put all this work in and I'm giving you it. But if you guys really like what I'm about to say, take him at -3.5 plus 100. It still has a great chance of coming in. I just would have rather given you the money line winner just to be safe. And the way Gasquet has been playing lately, he's way past his prime. Let's just say, another way of putting it, Gasquet, out of gas. That car ain't going nowhere. That scooter ain't going nowhere. He's out of gas. He's out of petroleum. He needs that juice. You don't believe me? In his last 10 games on the ATP, that's the highest level of competition in tennis, he's 1-9 in his last 10. If you go back another 10 games, he's 4-16. And if you go back a calendar year, he's 10-26 in his last 36 matches on the ATP. At the end of the day, this competition is just getting too much for him to handle at 37 years old. It's tough to see it, man, because he was once a top 10 player. He was once killing the game, but now the game is killing him. And he's going up against Shevchenko at the age of 23, a 14-year age difference. And this young gun is going to be too much for him. too much. Guy's won his last 8 of 9 in the first round matches. And when he's priced at minus 200, he's won his last 7 of 8. I'm telling you, this is, oh, if it was only at minus 200, this would be a lock of, guarantee of a lock. But I don't want to do it with minus 225. Now, don't get me wrong. He hasn't been playing remarkable in his last 10. He's won 5, lost 5. But a few of those losses have come to top-tier players. Dmitriev, Hurkacz, and Bublik, who is pretty volatile, but he, when he's on, he can play. I mean, I just see Shevchenko being too much for Gasquet at this time of his life. And we're going to lock it in. Shevchenko, minus 225. Or you can hit the play of -3.5 plus 100. So a nice 6-4, 6-4 win, or you never know. But that's what I like to go. We got Chevy. Let's go. And lock number 3, the ATP Los Cabos SA. And I got the match between Miromir Kecmanov versus Rinki Hijikata to go 3 sets plus 120. Both these guys over the past year split their matches on the hard court, winning 50%, losing 50%. Rinky's done a little bit better, winning his set percentage at 51% compared to Miram's 50%. And even still, in games won in these sets, in these matches, Rinky's won 50% to Miromir's 49%. So a slight difference, but I give Rinky a little bit of an edge going into this one. But overall, I think this match is going to be a very, very tight contested game. It's going to be a back and forth match. I really like this to go 3 sets. They've never played before, so we don't really have any indication of how this match might go. But looking at their comparables on the hard court, their service rating, match rating, like I said, for the first two girls playing, Maria and Emma, their comparables are very tight, very close together. And I'm giving the edge, all the numbers point to Rinky having the advantage in this match. And I think he does have the advantage in the match. I just see this one going 3 sets. It's a very tight game. And Miromir doesn't play good when he's in North America. He's lost his last 4 in a row in America, but he's won his last 4 or 5 at this price. So it's very, very tightly contested game. Not sure everyone knows what's going to happen. And that's okay, because we only need it to go 3 sets. We each need them to win one. No big deal. And let's just lock that shit in. Miromir versus Rinky to go 3 total sets plus 120. Lock it in. And now to the moon. Like I said, I've already given you the 3 games I'm going to go to. Now we're just going to predict who wins in which set. So starting it off, I have Emma Navarro to win 2-0 in sets plus 225 against Maria Sakkari. I just think Emma's just transcending way too much. Maria is not in a she's in a slump right now. She's not playing her best, and I think Emma's going to give it to her. She's going to give her that whooping. She's going to give her that beatdown. So I'm going to take Emma 2-0 in set building at plus 225. Next, I got Alexander Shevchenko to win in sets 2-1 plus 250. I know what you're going to say. I was just preaching. Gasquet, out of gas. He's out of petroleum. This, that. But there's just something inside me that tells me it's going to go to 3 sets. Something inside me is looking at that. I want to pick 2-0. I want to say he's going to win, but something inside me is just telling me 2-1. It's going to go 2-2-1. So we got Shevchenko winning 2-1 plus 250. And now, I told you guys, Rinki Hijikata and Miromir Kecmanović are going 3 sets. But I have Rinki Hijikata winning 2-1 in sets at plus 400. I'm giving the edge to him. I think he comes out on top. It's going to be, like I said, a tightly contested game. But here's the thing. Rinky Dinky is going to put it in his stinky pinky and get that dub for us, okay? And when you put those 3 sets all together, that comes to plus 5,587. Throw 30 on it equals 18,37.87. I'm telling you, that's a nice fucking payout. You guys are going to call in sick for the rest of the week after Wednesday hits, after this hits Tuesday. I'm telling you, enjoy it, gamble at your own risk, and see you next week. Peace.